Hi, it's Larry Herb, Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the show. I'm really excited this week. We have not one, not two, but three co-hosts. That's right. You probably know Jeff, of course, and Rebecca, who recently joined us. But Rebecca has with us today Pumbaa. Say hello to Pumbaa. What's up?
How's he doing? He's having a slow morning.
Well, for those people that listen to the show, go back and listen to the show last week, and you'll tell it's been, you can find out why it's been a pretty traumatic week for the little guy there. So
he had a very routine procedure. He's healing well.
He's resting. I think we're weeks away from Jason Ronald in this square and Pumbaa over here. Over on your side, Rebecca. Yeah. Rebecca will be like, you'll be on vacation, and Pumbaa will just be sitting there. Yeah, and that will be the evolution of the show. We're getting there.
We're it's
gonna be all bad idea, actually.
The good news, I spent some time fixing the lower third, so now they're all under the right names. So that's good. Good to see you guys.
Very good. I was getting a lot of retweets last week because they thought I was Major Nelson. It happened all. I owe you for my improving my social standing, my clout.
Speaking of that, I don't know, Jeff, I know you texted that. A couple of housekeeping things before we get going into what we're playing in the news. Rebecca, I don't know if you saw this, but I now follow you on Twitter, which is, I don't want to make a big deal out of it.
I did see that.
Finally. You made a big deal of it, Larry.
Okay.
Thank you.
But so, I want to point out also that I have...
You've arrived.
You can see in the lower corner there, that little thing is Spaces. I now have Spaces on my Twitter. So Jeff and I were kind of talking about that on Twitter. We should do a Spaces sometime, which I don't know if you're are you following what Spaces are, Rebecca? Mm-mm. It's essentially Twitter's version of Clubhouse. So we can do a live, basically this without the, you know, podcast, without, you know, it's A, it's live, and B, it's
without having to see us, which is
That's really smart. That's a good move on their part.
Yeah. So I'm gonna fire it up this. I may do it. You know what? I may do it. You know, sometime during the day, just for ha-ha's for like 15 minutes to see what it's like. But anyway, so if you're following me on Twitter or following Jeff or Rebecca, then you may see that pop up in your feed. Feel free to drop in and, you know, say hi to myself and Jeff and or Rebecca.
Spend more time talking. Our ha-ha's.
Are they like the polite version of lols? It'll do for the lols because that has like a negative connotation. You're doing it for the ha-ha's.
Ha-ha's.
You know. You're making it happen.
Ooh, hey, should we talk about what we're playing and kind of get into the news this week and how things are going?
Yeah.
Wow. It's your show.
I can feel the excitement. Sorry. I
feel the excitement. I'm looking at Pumbaa and he.
He's like calming Pumbaa. Me down. I'm gonna put him down. Say goodbye.
While you do that, I'm gonna go ahead. So you can kind of see what I'm playing up here. I mean, we Jeff and I played some Second Extinction. We have not played all three of this yet. You can see right here, Doom. Jeff, Rebecca.
You're still playing Doom Eternal. it is eternal for you.
It is so hard. It is like ridiculously hard.
Okay, excuse me. I tried to play Second Extinction with you guys. We're not online, so I played it by myself, and I got very freaked out by the raptors attacking me. So now I'm not really sure when I come back into it.
So are you afraid of dinosaurs?
Yeah, so that might like date me a little bit, but I was young enough when Jurassic Park came out that the raptors really, really scared me.
Sure.
That's
fair. No, the reason I ask is because a friend of ours who I work with, you know, Ryan Trite, who handles all of our, Inside Xbox stuff, he is deathly afraid of dinosaurs. And we were on a Teams call.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
True. It was just he and I on a Teams call. And I brought up, I said, hey, so I go over and I'm like, hey, you know, we were talking about some stuff. And then I went, hey, let's play some Second Extinction. I brought it up. He saw that and he said, bye, and hung up on me. Like, didn't he just completely peace out?
Wow. Okay. So I didn't realize this was a common thing. I thought, okay.
But I told him, I said, hey.
As fears go, being afraid of dinosaurs is a pretty good one because they would literally have to come back to life for you to have to confront your fear.
Right.
Like, if you're afraid of, like, spiders, like, there's spiders in this house. Like, my kid is like incredibly like screams at it. Sometimes you'll hear a blood curdling scream. I'm like, it's a spider. if you screamed, and then I would have to worry there's a raptor in the house, but that's relatively unlikely, like up there with being struck by lightning twice.
Yeah. But
I mean, at this age, yeah, but in the game, I don't know, because they like it was a little bit more intense than I was expecting. Like, not too bad. Like, I've played, you know, Call of Duty Zombies, you know, things attack you. It's normal. But They move pretty fast. They move in big packs. So it's a challenge. It's good. Yeah.
They can work the door handles. I mean, you know, clever girl.
Exactly.
So apparently they can talk to Chris Pratt too.
It was,
but he can talk to them, so it works both ways.
So I apologize, Rebecca, that we didn't get a chance to play because it was, I don't know where we were. Where were we, Jeff? I mean, we did not play at all.
Well, we did the drop in. We didn't do the mission. So there's like more mission style where you have to do a few things and you get airlifted out. Then there's just sort of like the open world where you can drop in, and there's some like sort of optional things you can do where you can collect materials and level up and things like that, and then you can extract whenever you want to.
Yeah.
And it's pretty enjoyable. The gunplay feels reasonably tight, and we were playing in a safe area, so the areas are sort of rated as like they're relatively safe. You'll mostly just face different kinds of raptors versus like the red areas where you might face like a mutant T-Rex or something like that.
I'm actually bummed. We were in the safe area. We never saw a T-Rex. Scared the pants off of me.
Yeah. And I think if we were playing, with a full team of leveled up folks, then yeah, I think that we could definitely take on a T-Rex. So I would definitely like to do it. We just haven't had a chance.
Second Extinction on the screen here. That is available. It's in game preview, but it's in Game Pass. So there's no excuse to unless you're, going to have nightmares with dinosaurs. There's no excuse not to play it.
And the rare game preview game with achievements. So we were getting in there. We got the one where a raptor sort of hitches a ride on the escape shuttle, which is worth precious 30 games.
Rebecca, did you just play with a bunch of randos, or how did you play the game?
No, I just dropped into the campaign. So it was just me playing by myself, and I was playing as Jürgen. So, because I really enjoy sniping, and especially with raptors, I'm like, stay away from me. Let me shoot you from distance. But they became up close and personal anyway. So it's basically no scoping them. Not fun.
The video you shared with us was a little disturbing because you were playing the game, and with the controller, we've got Rumble, and Pumbaa was sitting there on your couch, and he was not having any of it. He did not like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried out I can't remember his name, but it's like the heavy artillery character with the machine gun or the chain gun. I don't know what you call that. And the rumble was really intense. Maybe. And I don't know. Yeah. but the Pumbaa had been sitting on my lap, and then the controller was rumbling so much that he jumped to the other side of the couch, and he was kind of like, what is that? And
my mom being attacked.
Well, I never.
Yeah. He didn't bite the controller or anything. It's fine.
That's good.
Has that happened in the past?
He's more of he likes to run away from things rather than nibble on them. So it's all good. But anyway, I switched over and I tried something new. So I played this game called Carrion. I don't know if you guys have tried it, but it's it was pretty cool.
On Game Pass?
It's very dark. Yes, it is. On Game Pass.
What's it called?
Carrion, Carrion. So you're playing as some kind of monster specimen. And it's got like old school graphics. I know, it was kind of a weird pivot. And then after this, I was like, I need to play Minecraft. This has been a very dark evening. But this one was cool. Like you basically are trying to escape from a facility. You're a monster. You're just kind of like, you're kind of like a lot of like tentacles and legs, and you're trying to like bumble through, and you're killing the scientists. Not a shooter. A platform. It's like a platformer, and you kind of like use your tentacles to grab people and open hatches, and you squeeze through
so
vents.
You're playing the creature.
Yeah. Oh.
You're kind of like the gross monster from the end of Inside. You remember if you recall that that gross.
Yes.
Amalgamation of stuff. And, or kind of like the monster maybe in season 3 of Stranger Things, kind of. It's like, here's a bunch of just like flesh. And, but you're that. So you can identify with it.
And anyway, you know what is kind of, I don't know if it's, sorry, go ahead.
Did you play this or did you finish it or how far did you get in it?
I played it. I didn't finish it. I'm not really sure how far I got. I evolved a couple times. I grew in size. I looked like I completed a couple levels, but like I said, it was late at night. I was home alone. So I went and started building a new house in Minecraft instead.
That didn't scare you, but the dinosaurs did.
Okay. I can't explain it.
Larry, you'd be a terrible psychologist or psychiatrist. It's just like making fun of people's fears.
No, I'm not making fun. I'm just trying to understand. That's all. Just let's bring it all around.
I can't explain it.
We've talked about fears before. And I'm curious about Larry's fears because I don't like open ocean or being like in water. And Rebecca, you're afraid of things from 65 million years ago. So, Larry, what are you afraid of?
Open
up
clowns.
To the audience.
We talked about
clowns. That. That's right. That's right.
Oh, I thought that was kind of a joke when I didn't realize people were actually. Sorry, yeah. No offense.
Right. Yeah, clowns. And the joke that the worst part of it is, Rebecca, and I don't know if you know this, but there was a brief micro millisecond where I tried out to be in clown school.
Wow. The more you know.
So it was, I'll have to find that. There's an article in the paper about this was when I was in high school. And it was, thank Goodness. God I didn't do that. I'll just say that. It was, clowns scare me. Heights have a little bit on me, Jeff. Like, remember when you and I went to the top of the One World Center? That was a little, and I was like peeking over.
Oh, in New York? Was that was that One World Trade? Yeah. That was cool, though. That's an amazing place to go. Yeah.
Kind of looking at the end. And then
For sure.
Other than that, I mean, I guess I really don't have, you know, I will say when I goes, do you, I don't know if we talked about this, Rebecca, do you scuba dive? Because I scuba dive and Jeff doesn't. Mm-hmm. You do? Okay.
Yeah.
So you know what it's like when you're down there and I'm like 100 feet down. And sometimes I just get this panic attack where I'm looking up and I see my bubbles going up and I'm like, that's a long way up. I'm down here. I have these moments of clarity where I'm like, uh-oh. So,
well, my other big fear is actually sharks. So anytime I've ever gone scuba diving or snorkeling, I always find myself looking over my shoulder like, is there something coming? I'm really scared of sharks.
And
so
that's when I remember on one of my dives, my open water dives, where the dive master, you know, does this, points over there. That means it's shark. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a cool shark. And then I'm in the water with the shark. It's his home. I'm dead. And it was a nurse shark. And the thing turned around and I'm pretty sure the water all around me went yellow for a second. So anyway, I'm not afraid of, I'm afraid of a few things. We all have our things.
Okay.
That's good. You're human after all, Larry. One of us.
Aww.
I don't even know what that means. Anyway, so we're talking about what we're playing. Jeff, what are you playing? Do you have anything else, Rebecca, before we move on to Jeff?
No, go ahead.
Jeffrey.
Yeah. So I've been staying up late all week, playing some late night Outriders, and actually completed the campaign last night.
Playing it with?
I've been playing with Will, the editor in chief of Xbox Wire, Will Tuttle. He is a power player. He is world tier 15. He's just maxing out everything. He's got full legendary armor, and so he carried me pretty significantly, which may have taken us. Yeah, I really enjoy the game, especially the. I've got a good build. So there's a couple of YouTubers out there who are doing like great build tutorials. And so, I'm a trickster. And so I have a trickster build. And after I rebuilt my character, according to what this YouTuber, you can literally just go into the search box and put in Outriders, character builds or trickster builds or whatever your class is. He's done them, two plays, something like that. All of a sudden I was like, whoa, this is like night and day. And so once you start using your galaxy brain and not just the moves that look cool and string these things together, you can start doing amazing stuff. And then the next stage after that is playing with another couple of people who have complementary skills. So there's skills that if, you know, they can ash your characters where they get sort of the enemies where they get coated in ash and someone can cause extra damage to an ashed character, or there's a couple of different combinations like that, then you can just do really cool stuff. But you get later in the game, it starts raining purples. And so you start getting those and you figure out which ones to break down. And what's cool about it is you can pull, you're a little less beholden to the RNG and you can like pull abilities out of an item you like, and you can put it into a different one, and then you can level it up and stick with the one. I have a gun that every time I shoot someone, lightning comes down and strikes them, and that does not get old. I can promise you, that's just really cool. Yeah. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
I actually downloaded Outriders because you've been talking about it.
Well, if you ever want to run with it, we're definitely down to that. It's just like between that and Second Extinction and obviously things
dinosaurs?
Like Destiny.
I don't remember any dinosaurs in there, Jeff. Are we going to be okay with
that? There's sort of like gross versions of dinosaurs when it, yeah, very much so, actually. Gross versions. There's some big old beasties. And so and the story was kind of cool. And I like my creator characters. So yeah, in general, Outriders, awesome. I think it's, nice. You know, it's been great having it on Game Pass. And that's taken up my time. That and Dragon Quest, which I think... I'm finally about to beat it for real this time. So, again, I can't say enough good things about it, but I've expounded upon it in many episodes previously. So we'll leave it at that. Excellent game.
Good stuff. Yeah, we've got a bunch of news we're going to go over. We'll do that after the show. We've got some interviews today. And this is actually really exciting because we've got an interview, Jeff, that you did with Mac, right? About Mass Effect.
Yeah, Mac from BioWare. He was someone who actually joined us at PAX East a long time ago to talk about Andromeda, I want to say. Events,
and we used to have 500 people in a room. It was glorious.
Yeah, so he's the project director for Mass Effect Legendary, the collection, the Legendary Edition, where it's Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, and a bunch of other stuff. So we'll be talking to him and diving into... It was just... cool just thinking about Mass Effect again and just how impactful it had been to, you know, so many of us.
And I know there's a lot of questions out there about this, but we will get the answer to what about elevators? Jeff asked that question. Stay tuned. We'll get to that in a minute. And then Rebecca, we kind of keying off your shirt right there. We're going to interview some folks about a really exciting Asians at Xbox event or what's specifically the name of the month? What does it remind me?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a mouthful. It's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And so at Xbox, we have an employee resource group called the Asians at Xbox. Guess what it's about? But we have our two co-leads, Michael and Irene, and they're really incredible people. And they're doing a lot of good work to bring the community together internally and externally. We have an awesome Xbox Wire post all about how Xbox is supporting AAPIHM. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on, a lot of opportunities for people to get involved. May is also Mental Health Awareness Month. And so for both of these kind of moments in time, Xbox has some way that people can get involved. So we have a collection of entertainment and games that spotlight characters and stories kind of around these, you know, groups of people and issues. And we also have opportunities for people to donate through Microsoft Rewards, which Microsoft will match. And rewards are awesome because we're not asking people to pull money out of their own pocket. It's, you know, you can earn rewards through using Bing or, you know, playing games on Xbox and other Microsoft properties, and then you can donate those points directly to organizations that are making a change. So I would encourage everyone to check it out. And yeah, I hope that you guys like my first interview.
Yeah, so we'll do that. I think we'll probably get into that right now. We'll start with Jeff, we'll go into Rebecca, and then on the other side, we'll do the news.
Think back, if you will, to the Xbox 360 era. It was a great era for gaming, one of the best. Now, what games come to mind? Halo, I need to say that. Gears of War, oh, great choice. Mass Effect. Yes, experiencing the original Mass Effect trilogy series is one of those shared common experiences that many of us gamers have, arguing over, you know, which Shep is the best Shep. It's Fem Shep. Maybe finding out that you could beat the boss of Mass Effect 1 without firing a shot. That kind of blew my mind and I completely replayed. Maybe making jokes like, I'm Commander Shepard and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. We love Mass Effect. And now, nearly a decade after Mass Effect 3 shipped, with a whole generation in between, we get to relive these experiences. Perhaps for the first time, or maybe again, for those who loved it back in the Xbox 360 days. So, very happy to be joining us, Mac Walters, the project director of BioWare, joining us from Edmonton, Alberta. Has the snow melted yet, Mac?
It's melted for now, but you can't count it out until like May long weekend. It could come back at any moment.
That's like with us in the rain here in Seattle. It's like peaks of summer, but it's not summer till July.
Yeah.
So, well, you joined us back at PAX East a few years back. It's great to see you again and hear you talking to us about Mass Effect Legendary Edition. It's out next week. So let's talk That's about right. this package. Of course, it's the three Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, but what else is in this, and what have you done with these games?
Yeah, I know I'm, you know, pardon the pun, a massive amount of content. We've got all three games plus, over 40 DLC. Sadly, the Pinnacle Station could not be resurrected, but so many of the fan favorites, whether it's Lair of the Shadow Broker or Leviathan, all of that single player DLC plus, of course, wrapping it all together. And, you know, it is a remaster, but it was more than that as well. Of course, with Mass Effect 1, you know, we really wanted to sort of uplift it to feel a little bit more connected in the experience to 2 and 3. That was our first foray into the universe, our first foray on that platform at the time and on that engine. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the issues that we resolved in 2 and 3 and the things that we figured out what worked and what didn't work, we were able to now kind of go back and really sort of improve ME1. And you can see here with a lot of the footage, it's not just a visual uplift, although that's a big part of it. You know, gameplay in Mass Effect 1 was another big focus for us as well.
Yeah, we're looking at this trailer with a lot of before and afters here.
Yeah.
And I noticed, a couple of things that sort of stand up to me. One is, well, Thane here. Thane's skin. Yeah. You can see just a dramatic upgrade. It is interesting, though, looking at some of the befores. I was like, actually, before, this game holds up really well, especially Mass Effect 2 and 3. So which elements do you think have shown up the best, and really had that biggest jump with this remaster?
Well, for sure, the characters and environments in Mass Effect 1 are going to, you're going to see the biggest sort of jump and improvement there. But honestly, just across the board, I think characters in general are going to, you know, you always strive for that believable character. And, adding things in like SSS and improved AO and the characters, it just helps flesh them out and ground them in the universe a little bit more and more consistently as well as you go through. And you can see here everything from, you know, improving the textures, but a lot of the shader work that we've gone into improving, you know, just the surface response on skin and the way the eyes appear, improvements to, you know, not just the hair themselves. We did a lot of work there, but actually adding in new options. And then when you wrap it all together, this is showing, you know, the cinematics. And I think, this was always presented as a cinematic universe, right? You were playing a movie. And so being able to really hone in on a lot of those things like the depth of field and just the general sort of tone mapping throughout the games, it really helps them to sort of really shine in that cinematic experience.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting I'm glad you put the split screens in there, because there's always that thing where what a game looked like back then and then what you think it looked like, and then you look back and you're like, oh, wait, it didn't live up there. And when you do these remasters correctly, it looks like how you think it looked. It seems to usually be the bar.
That's a really good point. We kind of recognized that right from day one. We said, look, we're not just remastering assets. We're remastering people's nostalgia and their memories, right? Like you have to think about what is their memory of it like. And in a lot of cases, you know, they don't remember what Mass Effect 1 looked like. At best, they're kind of remembering the last touch point, which is for most people Mass Effect 3 if they've played it before, right? So they have that in their mind and they're thinking, oh yeah, like that's how I remember it. And honestly, the biggest hurdle and sort of, thing that sort of hit us on a day-to-day of decision-making was really about where do you improve and where do you go? No, this is actually the way people remember it. We've got to be really careful how we tread here. You know, a great example in my mind is the characters. We talked about that. You can take assets that obviously look much better in Mass Effect 3. Let's say Liara, she just came up on screen there, and bring her down into 2, and she's going to instantly look better. But she's not going to look like Liara in Mass Effect 1, right? She's going to look like Liara in Mass Effect 3. And she had a story arc. She progressed throughout the course of the games and intentionally looked a little older, a little wiser, a little less naive in 3. So we had to make sure that, yes, you want the fidelity boost in Mass Effect 1, but you want, you know, the character likeness to stay consistent in there. You know, we want Liara to still look like Liara in Mass Effect 1. So we spent a lot of time with making those kind of decisions and how to improve without, you know, having someone play it and go, oh, wait, this isn't how I remember it.
That said, we should all age as slowly as Liara does. That would be quite the feat. So you mentioned Pinnacle Station not being able to be rescued. And I thought that was an interesting story. Like, you know, you had to go in and look, and you know, I guess maybe you know things. You could talk about that if you like. But it, just in general, I've heard stories during remastering. Like I remember the State of Decay team remastering for Year One Survival Edition, and there were certain textures that you know when they were rendered on the 360, it was you know it just didn't. They show up how they show up at the time, but as the remastering process happens, you find sort of like hidden gems or inside jokes or things that now show up in the HD era, 4K era. So was there anything like that jumped out at you? Where like, oh man, I didn't know we did that.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the sort of writing that you'll see, like, so everyone remembers the sort of Robo Dogs from Mass Effect 2 and 3. They actually say, I think, Robo Dog on them, but you couldn't really see it in the original unless, you know, somebody had modded it or done something to it. Now that was like plain as day. You can kind of see that right on the texture of the robot, right? And then, as far as interesting anecdotes, you know, one thing we don't actually talk about a lot are the cinematics. And when we were, you know, going through this, there are, I think, at least five different just types of cinematics that we have in the game. So we have like sort of live in-game rendered real-time cinematics. We have ones that were rendered in-game, but then, you know, recorded as video. Then we have other larger ones that sometimes used aspects of the engine, but a lot of times we took them outside for compositing and touched them up. And I remember, you know, a good example of this is, you know, the big space battle end sequence in Mass Effect 1, right? So we had the ability to kind of re-render those out with all, you know, so remastering's done, we've up-resed the individual assets in the engine, and we had this ability to sort of, okay, let's try to just render those scenes out again. And they just never looked right. The lighting was off, the effects were missing. There's always some element of it. And that's partly part of the, you know, the way we would have done it in the past. And so what we ended up doing was taking a combination of the video up-res to 4K, right? Like, so beautifully up-res, but still it's a video up-res to 4K. So that you're going to notice some flaws in there, but we actually were able to mask in certain elements like the Normandy or Sovereign or something like that. And then recomposite it all with new VFX so that the scenes themselves look incredible and remastered. But actually, it's this interesting combination of a 4K video that has been up-res plus all these amazing 4K assets that were sort of masked in over top. And, you know, I think for us, a lot of it was you had to look at – it wasn't – I think a lot of people think it's just like, oh, yeah, click a button, remaster, go. Every type of asset you have has a different path to getting remastered the way you want. And like I said, even with the, you know, cinematics, I think we had five different pipelines for different types of cinematics in there.
It's not just hitting the remaster button, hitting that up-res button, is it? It's a lot more complicated, right?
Oh, yeah.
So these games were released over a course of about a five-year period. Mass Effect 1, I think, was 2007, and Mass Effect 3 in 2012. And the later games were, you know, more modern as, you know, a lot of things evolve over time. But these are all going to be consumed theoretically at once, you know, here in the year 2021. So I you kind of slightly talked about it, but how did you address sort of, you know, keeping the experience consistent, especially with Mass Effect 1 into the later ones?
Yeah. You know, we kind of took it in stages. So the first stage was really sort of twofold. One, let's get these things working, all three games up and running, you know, with, you know, DX11 and 64-bit, but then also make sure it's on the modern consoles. Simultaneously, we are up-resing, you know, doing the up-res thing on all the assets so that you can bring all that together and then assess, okay? And then because it's until you get in there and play it, and see it, it's like, okay, well, what is the delta still between Mass Effect 1 and 2 and 3? And that's where we realized it's like, yeah, even with all of that, Mass Effect 1 still feels like it's really lagging. Gameplay-wise, you know, just the smoothness of cameras, things like that. And even just the visuals in the environment, very sparse, just because of, you know, the nature of how we built it. And so that's when we really sort of said, okay, what are the things we could do to, again, keep it like you remember it, but also sort of raise that experience up so that it, when you go from, you know, Mass Effect 1 and 2 in a Legendary Edition, it definitely feels like there's a progression. It definitely feels like, oh, this is fresh and new, but it's not jarring, right? And I think that was probably, you know, the goal there was to reduce that delta between the two games and acknowledge, though, but still there is a progression. And I think that's what's really, like, me playing through it, what I really enjoy now is, you know, these are big games. They take a long time to go through, especially if you're a completionist like me. So when you finish one and you go to two, the fact that there's these differences, both visual and gameplay wise, is nice. It's like, oh, great, this is act two now. And now everything's kind of freshened up a little bit, but still feels very contiguous to my experience, which is great. So I think that's what's great about it, is it doesn't, you know, it really feels like one whole piece, but it also, you do get that sort of benefit of the evolution over time.
Yeah, which is a interesting, you know, sort of, iconic thing about games, is that, you know, they evolve over time. It's not just the storytelling evolves, but just everything from interface and controls and all these different things. So look, let's talk about elevators. All right. So in the original game, all those years ago, there were long elevator rides covering up loading times. Well, you know, it's 2021. A lot of people are going to be playing on Xbox Series S and X with SSDs. So do you still need the elevator rides? But there's conversations that happen on there. How did you handle that?
Yeah. You know, again, going back to what I said before, what we did was, once we got it sort of just playable on modern hardware, it was interesting to see just how much we improved without necessarily having to specifically do anything to improve those experiences. We found that a lot of times load times are just improved, but then we were able to dial it in even more for the elevator specifically, and the ones where the ones that were really egregious, especially in Mass Effect 1. You made a good point, which is, originally we had all these conversations in there, which of course were designed to kind of hide the fact that you're stuck in a loading tunnel all this time. But then, you know, the writers did such a great job of those conversations that they became kind of endearing to a lot of fans, right? So you don't want to remove that. So what we said was, okay, well, the simplest solution is, here, as soon as you can get out, we will let you skip it. But if you don't want to skip it, you don't have to. And of course, like you said, on a modern hardware SSD, you can rip through those elevator moments pretty quick if you really want to, or just linger and hang out with your buddies if you want to.
It's cool to give the option. I love that.
Totally.
There was a lot of content here. I think there was, I read 40 pieces of DLC across all the different games.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I was a huge fan, and this is not exactly a controversial opinion, of Lair of the Shadow Broker. I'm just curious, which of these stand out to you? Maybe is there a piece of DLC that didn't get its look back in the day that you think, hey, you know, now with the benefit of hindsight and playing the remaster, this Legendary Edition, you should go for this.
Yeah, you know, I think the great thing is that you'll have the opportunity to try them on. I think a lot of cases, you know, some people are kind of all or nothing. You know, if there's DLC, they're going to buy it, period, full stop. I think the majority of people maybe buy one, maybe buy two. They haven't tried all of them, and now they're going to have the opportunity to not only go in and try each of them on at their own sort of pace as they want to do it, but also see where and how they interact. So kind of seeing what they missed out on before, which is great. I think Project Overlord was a great one that was one of the first ones we did for Mass Effect 2. And there's some really, you know, if you like choice and also just sort of that kind of a haunted Ghost in the Machine vibe, it was a really cool a DLC back in the day. And I don't know, Leviathan's fun too, although that, I think I would say that was probably already a fan favorite. But there's so many great things in there. And, you know, when you look at a lot of the, you know, the sort of packs and kits that we gave out, a lot of them in the past would have been exclusives, right? So it was very difficult for you to collect them all because you had to, you know, purchase in a certain location or something like that. And now they're available to, all of those are available to you. We had to scatter them out throughout the games for purchase. Otherwise, you know, for the first 6 months when we kind of got things up and running, it was just everybody would just run around with all of those weapons and armors because it was just, you were super overpowered. But now we've sort of spaced it out, gives you something else to chase, you know, for the loot.
Very cool. So you've got a week now, because Mass Effect Legendary Edition comes out on May 14th. So if you're working through any other games, you're going to want to clear out a lot of time. So use this week to get back on track before it drops. So Mac Walters, thank you so much for joining us from BioWare. And we are looking forward to reliving these experiences again, perhaps for the first time.
Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. I'm really excited today to be joined by Michael and Irene, our Asians at Xbox Employee Resource Group community leads. I've seen a flurry of emails in the last like month or so getting ready for Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month from them. And there's just been a lot of exciting things that have been happening across the company, both internally and externally. So thank you to both of you for joining us today. Really great to have you on the show. If you don't mind, I'd love to just get to know you a little bit. Do you mind us sharing, I know that you're both obviously the Asians at Xbox co-leads, but if you could just share a little bit more background around what you do for work, just would love to get to know you a little more.
Yeah, for sure. Irene, you want to go first?
I'll go first. So I'm a UX designer, and I work at 343 and on workflows and tools. And I also focus on improving, creating better tools and better workflows across many disciplines, such as animation, LevOps, and infrastructure, audio. And I'm a co-lead at Asians at Xbox with Michael. And yeah.
Hey, team. My name is Michael Fu. I'm a program manager at Xbox. I'm a super lucky kid from Seattle. I spent a whole career working on Xbox in one way or another. Done games, infrastructure type work on Xbox Live. Currently, I'm working on our PC business. I know Xbox, we've not been the biggest investor in the PC space because we've been focused on console. But we got Game Pass, and it's exciting to pay subscription to get 100 games on PC. And we partnered with EA to get EA Play, and we want to do more in the PC space for sure. That's what I'm currently focused on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love meeting other people who work in gaming because, I'm kind of in my own like little Minecraft world, but it's great to meet people across the org who are on different teams because it's just such a big variety of what people are doing at Xbox. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious too, when you were growing up, we all ended up working in gaming. Were there any particular characters that you really identified with or any games in particular that, kind of inspired you to pursue your career in gaming?
Michael, do you want to go first?
I think my thoughts on that, I think it's less a particular character, but it's more like a game, like The Legend of Zelda, original NES. Just as a kid, I think that by far was the favorite game. Like, this is the old school, like, you play and you try to progress as far as you can, and you pass the controller to your friend. So I guess less of a character, but that game was just amazing. It's a tiny little universe to explore.
Yeah, and like for me, I used to play a lot of Street Fighter with my cousin when I was like 5 or 6. And then I'd always pick Chun-Li, and I thought she was pretty and she was really cool. So no matter how many I win or lose, I always pick her. So I have very fond memories of that game.
Nice. Everyone knows Chun-Li. She's iconic. I also I loved playing Tekken games growing up, and it was really nice. Like in fighting games, I feel like there's pretty good diversity of characters. And so you can kind of be like, oh, that one kind of looks like me. I'm going to pick her, but anyway, so I was just curious. So if you don't mind, I'd love to just know about the start of Asians at Xbox. I mean, how did this come about? Like, did the two of you find each other? Let me know.
Yeah, for sure. I can take that one. So it's actually kind of a fun story. I kind of tell a lot and often. Here at Microsoft, I happen to be on campus today. Like, if you're kind of stay safe, wear your mask even indoors here, you come in the office. On the campus, there's one single restaurant that serves beers. That's a bar. Like a lot of the teams, like retirement parties happen there. Team celebrations happen there. Or, if you had a long week, you invite your friends and go have beers. Like, not right now, but in the past. So in one of these events in the past, G4E, Gaming for Everyone, it's an organization within Xbox. Like, we are a part of it as Asians at Xbox. The leaders were there and the team was there. And at the time, I had been working with interns and helping, like, their culture. When they come visit every summer, like, I love to kind of teach them about Team Xbox, what's our intentions, have them meet the leaders, understand our goals, and answers our questions. So Asians at Xbox, that didn't exist. So I was like, maybe a beer or two in, and it's like, hey, where's Asians at Xbox? Come on, team. And then they were like, it's not like we're not excluding. It's just like it didn't exist as a group when G3 was formed, so it didn't. We didn't build it. Fast forward like a year or two later, like we built it. Like we were like, hey, do we want to do this? And yeah, you know, we do want to form this org. And then Irene and I, like, we've been doing this for a year and 9 months or so. We're brand new.
That's cool. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, and now. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, just to touch on how we actually became the co-leads of AX. So Michael actually sent out a email to WIC, Distributionless, and then say, hey, we're trying to form this new community. If anybody is interested, you know, ping me. And I was one of the few who pinged Michael. And then I was actually went through an interview process with a lot of people at G4D at the time. Yeah, so that was fun.
Wow, very official. I like it. And I mean, now I was just going to say, I think the group has grown to at least like 100, 200 people, if not more. And there's been a lot of really...
200.
Yeah.
200.
250, yeah, that's something. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And then I guess what kind of work have you guys been doing since then? I mean, I've seen the activity lately. You know, obviously this has been a difficult year with the rise in hate crimes against Asian Americans. And I've seen a lot of the work that you guys have been doing. So if you don't mind just telling us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. So in the past year, we really tried to put together a collection of events, you know, during the pandemic in a work from home environment, that is the type of event that allow folks to stay connected, but also don't require them to be constantly on the like on mode in order to join our event, because a lot of our members and folks have like family responsibility. They can't really stay in front of Teams 24/7, right? Or not 24/7, but you know, you get what I mean. But so like the event that we're trying to come up with are more like a creative and social and fun that or don't require people turning on their camera. And then we also, like during the start of COVID, a lot of Asian restaurants have been having a really tough time. So Michael and I at the time were thinking about how might we support the Asian community locally outside of our group and the company. So we came up with the idea of catering lunch quarterly for our social events and sending folks a small number of gift cards and encourage them to order more from their local favorite Asian restaurants. And this turned out to be an activity we love to do as a community on a quarterly basis. And it also like feels great knowing that we're supporting and contributing to something bigger than just our small group here. And another thing that we just started doing this year is to reach out to Asian-focused nonprofit and other Asian ERG leads across different gaming and tech companies in general, and see where we can join efforts and learn from each other. This is part of the initiative of like, how might we figure out what action to take in a meaningful way and amplify the impact so that we can help fight back the anti-Asian hate. And then most recently, we also hosted a panel discussion about experiences being Asian in gaming industry with leaders at Xbox, EA, and Activision, and the work we each do to support our community. Yeah, so those are just like a high-level view of the work we do.
Yeah, I mean, it's high level. That's a lot of activity. I mean, it's awesome. I can't thank you guys enough for fostering this community, like not just within Xbox, but then even like bringing us into the broader, you know, Asians in gaming, Asians in tech community. I mean, I think this has been a tough year. And so it's awesome to see that kind of solidarity and people coming together. What are your goals for Asians at Xbox moving forward? I mean, I think you've already accomplished a lot in the last year and 9 months since you got it started, but I guess, you know, do you foresee us having like in-person events and meetups, or you know, is this something you guys want to do long term?
Hey, I can take that one with Asians at Xbox.
Yeah.
For me, it's basically caring for your teammates. I mean, I spent an entire career here, and my hope is, you know, if things play out right, I can finish my career here and then go off and move to somewhere warm, and it'd be cool. But primarily is really to, you know, think about Team Xbox and take care of your teammates. Like on the, you brought up the violence in America recently. I can build on what Irene shared already. When that happens, we kind of instantly hold a meeting. Everybody comes to the meeting, and you know, you share what you need to. If you're upset, you're angry, like just anything goes, and you listen, and you take action after that. But it's really taking care of your team. It's like creating safe spaces like that, like these rooms. Like it doesn't really need to have like a big American big national issue like this. It can be like any time where you create a safe space. It's fun. Old employees, new employees can come, you know, meet each other. You make friends. You think about their careers too. You think about like, what can we do for the team? You know, we have a budget. Do we think about, speaking courses for public speaking? Do we think about bringing in people to help with their LinkedIn? Do we bring in mentors? You know, that's a thing too. At the end of the day too, we're all working together. We got to have fun too. You know, so we have a lot of, with Asian culture, food's really at the center of it. So when we were in person, we would have a lot of catered food. Over the pandemic, like we've had to adapt. We've actually been buying DoorDash cards. Like the first 50 gets a DoorDash card. So we'll hang out and everybody buys their different sushi or some other Asian restaurant thing, and they'll share it on the call. So the long term is just, you know, care about your team and take care of them. And, you know, let's work together at Team Xox and let's try to win.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like, especially in the last couple of years, I've seen a big increase in, I guess, the effort to make our workspaces more inclusive, because, you know, we can hire anyone, but then we have to make this be an environment where people feel welcome and they want to stay and they want to keep working with us. And so it's awesome that you guys are doing so much to contribute to that. So thank you. I guess my last question would just be, you know, given that this is May, Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, quite a mouthful, but it's an important month. I guess I'd just love to know, like, how do you recommend that people observe or celebrate this month in particular?
My thoughts on that is, so this year is actually the very first time for us to celebrate AAPI Heritage Month at such scale, which I'm super stoked about. So we have a Xbox Wire blog post that's summarizing the activities and all the fun stuff that we're doing. If you haven't checked that out already, I encourage you to take a look at that and see if there are any events that you're interested in. It's a great starting point for us to start to understand each other. And even within the AAPI community, there are so many different types of cultures and traditions. So it's great for us internally to start building that muscle as well. So yeah, so if you have anything that's like, you know, like in your area of interest, definitely go ahead and check that out.
Awesome. Michael, all right, well, I think that's our time. Oh yeah, Michael, anything to add?
No, I'm all good. Yeah, you covered it well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. This has been a great conversation, and I'm sure we'll have you again on the show soon if you're down to come back.
Yeah, for sure. Let's play some games.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
All right. Great job, Rebecca. Your first interview. You know, you're officially part of the show now. Actually, almost officially part of the show. And let's talk about your audio, because we've seen some great comments from everybody. That people have been very welcoming. So thanks to all of you who have welcomed Rebecca to the show. The only thing that we've seen sort of that needs improvement is audio. And that's something you're working on, right?
Yeah, so I have ordered a new setup. It should be here in the next like week or two, I hope. Next week, I'm actually going to be on vacation. But then the week after that, I'm hoping that I'll be up and up to par with these guys. So thank you for all the feedback so far, though.
Yeah, you can see Jeff has his mic. I've got mine. We're going to get you a nice high-end podcast radio mic as well. It's been ordered since day one, but there's just been back ordered. So we're going to get your audio much better. So thank you in the YouTube comments for all your kind words.
Yeah,
I will say this, you know, there's sort of this trope, which is don't read the comments.
Right.
And we do read the comments, and the comments are generally incredibly nice, or like constructive, and we want the constructive. We don't just want, like, we love the show. I mean, that's great, and thank you. But also when there's like advice, or we'd like to talk, we'd love for you to talk about this topic or these people or whatever it is, that's super helpful. And so thanks so much for being like just a great community, is I guess what I'd say. And also, again, for welcoming Rebecca to the show.
Yeah, that also.
Yeah, seriously.
We also we had a question actually in the YouTube comments, and some people hit me up on Twitter about the renaming of the show. And you know, this is originally, it was Major Nelson Radio, which just kind of rolled off my tongue in 2004 or five when I came up with the show. We just wanted to be more inclusive, so it's Xbox. It's not my show; it's your show. It's Jeff and Rebecca and everybody that listens and all of our guests. So that's why we renamed it. It's the same show, same people. You know, just a little bit more fun, a little bit more of that. In fact, Jeff and I were—I don't know if you saw the email, Rebecca, but Jeff and I were looking at some of the numbers for the podcast on Spotify and Apple and Google, and apparently we're big in Poland. Very large.
We're the number three gaming podcast in Poland, yeah. Which I mean,
that's, I wish I knew how to say something in Polish to thank them. I but
know. Embarrassingly, I'm half Polish, and all the words I know are not fit for the podcast. So I'm going to just let it go with that.
Well, look, we're talking about Outriders all the time, and so you know that must have been part of it. And you know, I think we've had actually a few Polish devs on the show recently. For the medium. Yeah.
By the way, we're number 10 in video games in Saudi Arabia. Just looking at some of the numbers here.
Cool.
But anyway, yeah, you can hit us up. In fact, a lot of folks had asked about. I went through and kind of, for lack of a better term, plunged out the pipeline of all the names. So you should see all the new names on Spotify and Google and Apple Pod, or wherever you do, whatever your podcatcher is. You should see the new name there, and a bunch of fresh new metadata. It's got Rebecca's name. So yeah, we just kind of did a little spring cleaning and touching up, but we're you know, the same feed. It's the same everything. The only thing that's different is, you know, obviously for the past year we've been on YouTube, and then everything else is pretty much exactly the same. So that's kind of the reason for the evolution of the name, is just to it's not about me, it's about everybody else, and it's about everything Xbox. So that's what's going on there.
Now you can't take your ball and go home, Larry.
I don't want to. What I want to do is I want to get where somebody else. Remember back in the day, Jeff, we used to have, you know, you or maybe Ear Laura host the show when I wasn't there. I want to kind of have, maybe someday when I'm on vacation, you guys can host the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that would require you going on vacation, which you probably should do and say. Never do. You never take a break.
I do need to take a break. So we'll figure that out. Okay. Anyway, we got some news coming up, Jeff. You got a couple things there. And actually, I want to, before we do that, Rebecca, again, great job on the interview. There was a couple things in the interview that she and I were talking about afterwards. And there were some questions about some of the guests were using like our standard three-letter acronyms, Jeff, like a UX designer or UXD, you know. Rebecca, I want to see if you can maybe pull back the curtain on what a couple of those things they said were. Do you remember?
Yeah, Microsoft is notorious for our acronyms, seriously. So let's see, a couple things. So UX, that's user experience, yep. Right?
That's like a UI, that's a person who designs like, you know, the UI in a game and things like that. So that's
right.
Larry, which for three, you just answered an acronym with an acronym. UX, is that UI?
Yeah, good point.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah. But UX at 343, that is super cool. I love the Halo loading screens and the menus and everything. Like, it's awesome. And then another one was WIG, which is Women in Gaming. And right. So we have a lot of ERGs, which are Employee Resource Groups. I think I actually spelled that one out. Yeah, and so WIG is Women in Gaming, and so it's just an open invite for all the women across Xbox to join and kind of have our own little community there too, which is really awesome. I think those were the last ones,
if
right?
If we missed one, drop it in the comments below, and we'll be sure. Either Rebecca, we can translate, or Jeff will come in and try to demystify the three-letter acronyms. So
yes, it's not TMI to clarify that.
All right. Well, anyway, you got a couple things there, and then I think Rebecca.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, the good old Melissa at Game Pass. She constantly gives us something to talk about, something to look forward to, and ensures that we never clear out our gaming backlog. So, some new games were announced this week coming to Xbox Game Pass today, or by the time you hear this, you'll be able to play Dragon Quest Builders 2. We talked about that for a bit. Also, FIFA 21, and you know, as we know, the sports games, FIFA, Madden, NHL, they usually end up on EA Play, you know, usually a couple of months after launch. Well, the biggest sports game of them all, FIFA 21, it's out now. We're getting late into the European soccer or football season, but MLS is just kicking off. Sounders are undefeated. And so, yes, great. Always a great time to play soccer. Outlast 2 is also available on cloud console and PC. And Steep, which, I don't think I got to snowboard at all this year because of pandemic and stuff like that. But really fun game, sort of a somewhere in the slightly more realistic realm of, it's not quite SSX craziness, but at the same time, really fun and kind of like an open world with real mountains around the world. So I really enjoyed Steep from Ubisoft, and that's available now on cloud and console with Xbox Game Pass. And then coming up next week, Final Fantasy, I always call it Final Fantasy X, but it's Final Fantasy X. It's Final Fantasy X. And Final Fantasy X2 with Tidus and Yuna. Yuna? I think. Maybe she... Wait. Now I got it. I can't remember. I'm mixing up all my Final Fantasies because she might have been Final Fantasy VIII. Anyways, those are available, the remasters of those. And Final Fantasy X is one of the best ones ever. So highly recommend that. I never finished X2. Just Cause 4 Reloaded, available on May 13th. And that is sort of, you know, Just Cause 4, which is like a crazy explosive game, but then even more things added to it, like the Deathstalker Scorpion muscle car. And then the original Psychonauts. Sounds nice. So Psychonauts 2 is coming out later this year, as we've talked about. But Psychonauts, the original one, will be available digitally and part of Xbox Game Pass on May 13th. And so if you've never played the original, I've never played the original from OG Xbox, this is your chance to do it. And last two, Red Dead Online. So that is just the online component of Red Dead Redemption 2. Will be available for Xbox Game Pass. Yeah. And of course, in any Rockstar online experience, it continues to evolve for years and years and years. Obviously, GTA Online is still, close to a decade later, still super huge. And then Remnant from the Ashes, which is a really interesting game. It's coming to PC. This is a third-person shooter. It's kind of like a, I want to do it justice. Very challenging, kind of a Dark Souls. If Dark Souls was a shooter, I don't want to say the Dark Souls of shooters is a cliche, but it really has a lot in common with it. Like if you die, you got to go back and get your stuff and stuff like that. So really interesting, worth checking out. And so that's coming to PC. And a few DLC game updates like Fallout 76, Gears Tactics, Grounded is a big update. Minecraft, you get a free R2-D2 beanie. With that, and Sea of Thieves as well has an update through Game Pass available until June 22nd. Check it all out on
Jeffrey
Xbox Live. In fact, I did, and there's a couple bits of Minecraft news, and one bit I've been waiting for personally involves Minecraft Dungeons.
Rebecca, tell us about that.
Yeah, so Minecraft Dungeons now has cloud saves. Whoa. And so cloud saves, for those of you who aren't familiar, another term for it could be cross-platform saves. And so basically, you know, you're playing on your Switch on the go, you hit save, and now when you get home, you boot it up on your Xbox or your PlayStation, you can pick up your progress. And this is something the community has been asking for a long time, but it's really hard to enable, honestly. And so that's why it's taken a while, but we're really happy to have it out now. And we hope that people get to take advantage of it.
Can you remind people what platforms Minecraft is on? Because it's on I think it's on my refrigerator. I mean, it's everywhere, right?
Well, so for Dungeons, we're available on PlayStation. Oh, wait, no, not PlayStation 5. Sorry, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, Nintendo Switch, Windows PC. And then Minecraft itself, I can't list all of them because I think the list is like 21 long, but it is basically every single thing that will play a video game will probably run Minecraft. Right.
I'll have to dust off my Atari Lynx.
Yeah. I think it does that, Jeff.
Did you have a Lynx?
I had a Lynx. I love my Lynx, and my wife loved it too. She used to play Clax all the time. Click, 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 click. That was a great, great puzzle game.
That thing would chew through batteries fast.
That's
and the Game Gear, which I had neither, but oh my God, it would just destroy batteries. Last bit of update here, Watch Dogs Legion. Know you're a huge fan, Larry. New DLC and title update 4.0. There's basically new things you can do, new types of citizens that you can engage with, like a DJ, a first responder. Let's see. There's some new abilities that will show up, like pickpocket and second wind. Anyway, just more and more Londoners to interact with in Legion, and more activities to do as well. And of course, the title update stuff is of course free. And then there's more DLC as well, especially on online. And so there's some new solo assignments that you'll be able to do with that.
I have a little bit of news.
Do you, Larry?
Well, it's granted it's a few days old, and it's kind of just an add-on. And that was earlier this week, depending upon when you're listening to this, but I think it was May 3rd. We announced we added over 70 more titles that are getting FPS boosted on Xbox Series X and S. So if you want to swing over to my blog there and check that out, see it's majornelson.com/FPS boost. We had some more. We had some earlier, but we just added a whole bunch more that are, you can see some of them go up to 120 frames a second on Xbox Series X and or S. So you can have the whole list over there. And that's a big deal. If you've played some of these games before, you may go check the list and maybe your favorite game is on and kind of enjoy it at a higher frame rate. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, there's some great stuff on there. And we were talking about it, like we're big Far Cry fans. Okay. And like we beat, we played Far Cry 5 mostly together. And that's all on there.
Out in that barnyard with the cow. I guess we shouldn't talk
about that. We've talked about that in the past. We talked about getting all the crazy achievements, punching a cow. But I never played New Dawn. And now I'm all the more, it moves up the list because now it's doubled in frame rate and just smoothing that out. Another one's Yakuza 6, which I haven't gotten to yet. And it's really cool knowing that when I do get to it. What?
Have you ever played any of those games? I think you'd like them.
Yeah. Are you a Yakuza fan? Believe it or
not, I've dabbled a little bit. And, it happens. Actually, there's one other thing I want to talk about, and I'm just curious how you're feeling about it. So there's a Resident Evil Village has a demo available now. I saw it actually on the dash. I saw Lady Dimitrescu beckoning you to download, and I'm sort of torn because I'm scared to play it. I played Resident Evil. I played most of them. I think all of them but six. And I'm used to the third person. I loved RE2 and 3 remakes, which came out in the last year and 2 years. Really good. Scary, but third person. Resident Evil 7, I couldn't do. It was first person. There's stuff behind you. Freaked the hell out of me. Yeah, that was, but now okay, I want to go back.
That scares me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That scares me.
But RE8 looks so good. It just looks so interesting that I really want to play it, but I also know I'm like complete chicken. So I'm like fighting with myself. Do I just jump into that one and see how I like it?
Or in the middle of the day. Seven? Yeah.
In the middle of the day with the volume down, with the brightness turned all the way up. I actually read an article about how to make RE7 less scary. And it was all of those things. It was play with the volume really low, turn the brightness all the way up in game, not where it tells you to do it. Right. Play during the day. Right. Play with other people.
I did that with Second background. Extinction.
Pumbaa was there supporting you.
Getting back to the FPS boost, there's a whole bunch of titles on there. Untitled Goose Game at 120 frames a second. That's what you want to see. Tell me.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a whole bunch of there. So go FPS boost, check it out.
And what's cool is you don't even have to download anything differently. But what you want to do is when you go through management, because some of them default to not having it on. And so you'll want to actually go into you can manage the game and you can turn it on just like you would do with HDR, auto HDR.
There's a little video
and you could say, okay, I want it.
On my blog post that showed you exactly how to do it. You can just go, here's what I do.
Perfect.
That's all you need to do.
Perfect. There's even a new section actually for the Xbox Game Pass games that support FPS boost. So you're like, oh, I want to check out something that is now, I got my 120 hertz you know, LG TV or Samsung TV, what you can do is on your dash, when you hit down, there's a Xbox Game Pass. There's like that green square. You can click on that. And then you can go down within that. Actually, you could, why don't you do it, Larry? Yeah, so that, there you go. Hit A there. On that Game Pass part. No worries. There we go. And then if you go down, your camera angle is like not ideal. You'll see a section that says FPS boost. You actually went all the way to the bottom. I don't think it's that far down.
Hold on. There it is.
That was it. That was it. Yeah. Turn your camera. Tilt it slightly to the left. There we go. Games with FPS boost. And that's really cool to go through. And there's a lot of them. And so if you've got Game Pass, I mean, oh my God, there's a lot of them.
Golf
so,
with Friends at 120 frames.
That's a very popular game.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'll have it.
Oh, I've played that one. Yeah, thanks. I would like to see that one
actually,
at 120 frames.
I'm looking at that, and Mirror's Edge Catalyst at 60 will look real nice.
Right, right. That'll be a good one. Yeah. Anyway, so that's some of the news this week. Thank you for any other news there, Jeff, before we let you go and let you leave the news desk.
I got my break coming up.
We're going to be next week. We're going to do something a little different. I know, Rebecca, you are speaking of vacation/holidays. You're not going to be here next week. So I've asked, I'm having trouble negotiating with Pumbaa's agent. So Pumbaa was trying to fill in, but I don't think we've reached agreement. But we'll have, Jeff and I are working on bringing somebody else in here as a little surprise guest. So stay tuned on that. So that'll be next week. But I think we're going to wrap up now. We've talked a lot. Oh boy, we covered a lot of ground today, didn't we? For a quiet week in the news space, Jeff.
I know.
It's never a quiet week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We got a lot of bunch of stuff coming up. So we'll wrap up now. We'll let you guys go. We're recording this as Jeff and I always like to say. Now, Rebecca, you know, we record this right around lunch, so where all of our tummies are collectively grumbling a little bit. So we're going to let everybody go. We'll be back next week. Remember, Jeff, tell people how they can find us or how they leave their feedback, please.
Exactly. Well, we love comments, especially on YouTube, seems to be the easiest place. So do like, subscribe, ring that bell, put some comments in there. We love to read them. We respond wherever we can, usually over the weekend. But we do appreciate your ratings, especially on Apple Podcasts, but Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever else you are consuming this content. That sounds very reductive, but it is what it is.
And also make sure you follow us on Twitter. We're going to do Twitter Spaces sometime within the next few days. We'll see how that we're going to take that for a test run. I have no idea if it's going to go for 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours, no idea. So make sure you follow us there, and you can follow Rebecca. You saw her why don't you tell us what your Twitter, for those that don't have the video, tell us what the Twitter is.
It's at Rebecca, Rebecca underscore Yeun, which is Yeun, my Korean name. But does anyone use underscore anymore? I said that the other day and someone was like, oh, is that an old thing?
Not if I can avoid it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess people do in the old days when you used to have to create ways to space things out and whatnot. But I mean, yeah.
Right.
I guess so. But yeah, you could just.
Give me
at least
a break.
You don't have like the little X one word and then version. The big X. Underscore
I definitely XX, had that back in the day.
XX, yeah, sniper killer, yeah. XX unit.
It was Roar Becca back in like 2008 or something when that
Roar
was
Becca. I like
that's adorable.
That's the Twitter account you need.
Thanks, guys.
That's awesome.
Probably all right, gang, taken though.
We'll wrap it up. Rebecca, have a great week off next week. Jeff and I'll be back with a special guest. Jeff, any final words, or Rebecca, any final words before we go?
I have no wisdom to impart.
This week was National or International Star Wars Day on May 4th, and I picked up a new joke. What was it? Let's see. Hang on. Now I can't remember. It was, the creation of the lightsaber was amazing because it's really cutting edge technology. Happy Star Wars Day.
I'm going to have to do a sad trombone sound effect. I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye, everybody.
All right. Bye, guys. Thanks for a good show.